and the labors of many more, I believe time would fail us. And it's impressive, you know, especially in the Great Awakening time, the 1800s and 1900s, and the huge gospel movement going out into the world. There's a lot that aren't mentioned here, like Hudson Taylor, who basically evangelized China with a couple thousand missionaries. And so, but this was the beginning of it, is the point. And so it's very significant. Now, we see in back in chapter 6, verse 12 of Mark, they went out and preached that men should repent. Please go to Luke. We'll look at Luke's account of this, a little fuller of what was said. You know, Mark's is somewhat abbreviated. And you have to look at the gospel accounts. They supplement, complement one another. Chapter 9, verse 1 of Luke. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey. Okay, that's a parallel there. And then go to, they preach the kingdom of God. And now I want to compare that. Maybe I won't turn to it though. That in Matthew's gospel, they preach the gospel. Now what's the emphasis here? It's to repent. And sometimes that's misunderstood. To repent means to have a change of mind about your sin and your need for a Savior. And we have a tract that we use, and it starts out, it cues the word all. All are sinners. God loves all sinners. All are saved by grace. All who believe are saved. And this is the reality. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, when a person believes in Jesus as their Savior, they've got to acknowledge they're a sinner. That's really the bottom line of repentance. But it's not just a superficial thing. Oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. No, this is something that God works in the heart with a conviction where you know you have a need of a Savior, where you know you're not okay. And in fact, it's very specific what the Holy Spirit convicts of. It's listed in John 16. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because they go to the Father. Of judgment because the prince of this world is cast out at the cross. And so there's something very specific. It's where you realize, you know, I don't know if I have believed in Jesus as my personal Savior. Do you know if you have? If you're not sure about that, that's involved in this repentance. Where you realize you don't have good works that you can offer to God. Isaiah 64:6, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Everybody had that. And it's where we know we can't come to God with our good works. It's not by good works of righteousness which we have done. It's by his mercy that he saves us. And so you come empty-handed, right? And it's a repentant faith. And that's a wonderful thing because it's kind of giving up in yourself and realizing, well, Jesus paid it all for my sins. It is finished, he said. And so this is when they went out and they preached the gospel. It was highlighting the fact that they were sinners. Now I want to parallel this with Luke 24, when Jesus commissioned the apostles. Luke chapter 24, 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. So there it is. And Jesus preached it, right? We saw it back in Mark 1:15. He began to preach the kingdom of heaven as at hand. He said, repent and believe the gospel. It's two sides to a coin. It's not two steps. But it's you admit you're a sinner, you believe. Paul preached it, Acts 20:31, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith is emphasized, no question. 98 times it says believe in the Gospel of John. And the object of faith, is what we want to present, Christ and Him crucified. But you got to admit you're a sinner. That's the point. Now, let me say something. We have a post-cross ministry, right? And you know what brings repentance the most? The preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I'm going to dovetail our brother Tim Gosen, very good missionary. And if you heard that last Sunday night, he talked about the holiness of God there in Isaiah 6. And he ran out of time, though. Then he got to the application about who will go for us. Here am I. And Isaiah goes, you know, as a prophet. But in between there, you've got the angel, a seraphim, who takes a live coal from off the altar. Remember, Isaiah is aware he's a sinner when he sees the holiness of God. Woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. But he takes a coal from off the altar and it touches his lips. And then he says, I'll go. It's the cross that convicts. It's the cross that heals. Because that's man's only avenue. Don't you love it? The cross. The love of God. The unconditional love. The complete sacrifice that was made. Now, I realize this is pre-cross, so these apostles sent out. But we're post-cross, and we know what to preach, right? Christ and Him crucified and His risen again. Well, back in our passage, verse 13, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And so, again, these were sign miracles, casting out of devils, a healing. No doubt it was with compassion, but it was a sign miracle. And they did it in Christ's name. And by the way, we don't have that today, but you know something really good we have? Medical missions, like Dr. Jack Mitchell, when they go in and he pulls teeth and some doctors will go in and they'll deal with their health. And while they're doing all that, might have 100 people in a tent, you got the pastor of that church plant in the foreign field preaching the gospel. And I know Jack Mitchell's emphasis is the gospel and souls. But then medical missions really helps. And so I love that thought. We're fulfilling it in that way, supporting a missionary like that. So the result, if we go back, my time is up. And we have a clock now in the back. And if you go back to chapter 6, verse 14, the next verse, it says, and King Herod heard of him. His name was spread abroad. That's the goal, isn't it? Christ's name. Christ person. We want them to hear about Him. And that was the result. Well, I mentioned early that there are principles here, lasting principles for the servant of Christ in every age, such as we need to be with Jesus. If we're going to go out and preach, if we're going to go out and serve, we need to be with Jesus. Can't neglect that, right? Time alone with the Lord, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They had the preparation. Can't overestimate the importance of that. But then they were sent forth by Christ. And you know what that means? That means you're sent with authority. You can be sent with a confidence. You're not sent with your own message. This isn't your own idea. No, we're commissioned by Jesus Christ. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Mark 16:15, as His representatives. Now, you know, there are some who go out alone, and you have to commend them. If they're able to do that, like a David Livingstone, you know, in Central Africa. But the Lord's way is co-laborers. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 8. I'll have to admit, I used to think, well, that's an excessive use of money. Two missionaries sent out. But I'm convinced about it in this section, and then seeing the effectiveness with the Flinks and the Perrys. But notice this, 1 Corinthians 3. I suppose you could say it's if it's a man and his wife, it's two. But 1 Corinthians 3:8, Paul says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, you're God's husbandry, you're God's building, according to the grace of God. And he goes on. So that's a blessed thing, as the Lord calls. So hoping that'll work out with our son Steve and Cecil Hines. They work well together. And God can give that. Well, we see too, as they were sent out, they received empowerment from Christ. Can't we expect that? Our sufficiency is not us, ourselves. Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. We read that this morning. God is able to give all grace to you, having all sufficiency for every good work. God can do that. Now they were to go out by faith, and so are we, trusting the Lord for his provision. That shouldn't be an issue. You know, it should be just to do his will. He's going to supply, and then we love it when people receive it. But if they don't, we got to accept that one, right? And tirelessly try to reach souls. Sow by all waters. You don't know what's going to prosper, this or that. But may people see their need. You know, it's not a flattery message, is it? It is a positive thing. You know, the gospel means good news. It's a message of love. It's a message of grace. We are presenting what God says is a gift. The gift of eternal life. But the wages of sin is death, and the gift of eternal life is Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there's that side that we want to realize, and for people to see their need to be saved. So let me sum this up with a few words at the end that you might think about when it comes to serving the Lord. Care not, fear not, and go. Care not, God's going to provide. Fear not, we don't want to hold back. And go. Father, we thank thee for the example here of the apostles sent by the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for what really was the beginning of missions and what's happened over the centuries, and especially during certain times in world history. And Father, we thank thee for what you're doing in Jesus Christ building his church. We rejoice in that, and we have a small part of that in our corner of the world. May we all be good witnesses, Father. We pray that we could shine as a light by life and by word, that we could reach out in love, realizing the power of the gospel and buying up the opportunity that the souls need the Lord. And Father, help us to be cognizant of that, and to always be a witness for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.